All right, nice to have you with us. Giants and Cardinals coming up. We're joined by Mark Simon, Sports Info Solutions. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, you want to follow him. Mark, how are you today?
I'm doing quite well. How are you?
Very good. You got through the break okay?
I got through the break. I got a little sleep. I am back. The Stats are awake.
Okay, very good. Well, we got an interesting matchup today, honestly. I've talked a lot about the Cardinals. They're kind of a cornered team. They've got to get the bats going, and it hasn't happened for them a lot this year. But they've got a very good lefty on the hill who gave the Giants trouble. And then on the Giants side, the Sclafani, you can argue, is a co-ace with Gausman. This is a good matchup.
Yeah, it's a good matchup more specifically because of how good Kim was in that last start against the Giants, completely shutting them down. Start with Sclafani and with a tidbit or two, as we always do. Coming off the national start, he was very good with his curveball, very good with his changeup, which are not his two primary pitches. He got three outs with each, didn't allow any base runners. Those were good. He had everything working in that start. Completely different note with him. When you combine strike throwing and out-getting, his fastball slider combo ranks among the very, very best in baseball. It's in the same class, maybe not velocity-wise, but just in terms of results, as DeGrom, Wheeler, Cole, Scherzer, Rodon, Herman Marquez, Freddy Peralta, all guys that are having great years. Both those pitches have been really, really good. Whatever Brian Bannister and company have done with him and the pitching coaches have done with him, certainly made it work, and he's been fantastic. With Kim, Kim was very good because the slider was good against the Giants. He threw it more. He was in the middle of a stretch of about three or four starts where he threw it a lot. He pulled back in his last start a little bit, but you're going to see a lot of sliders, and it's going to be up to the Giants and a guy like Mike Yastrzemski, who hasn't hit the slider this year, to get some hits against the sliders tonight. They didn't get those hits the last time they faced him.
You talk about lefties against Kim, 162 with no homers, six hit by right-handers. And DeSclafani, right-handers, 165 with three of the 11 home runs. These guys get certain hitters out with those pitches. But the key for me is the location. And you can throw the slider as much as you want, Kim, but, boy, you better keep it down and off the edge of the plate. DeSclafani, you throw fastballs, you better have it in the right quadrant or major league hitters are going to hit it. For me, both these guys, it's location.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's just watching, I'm thinking anecdotally back to a couple of starts that DeSclafani's had this year where he was really good on the outside corner. And keeping the ball out of if you look at the quadrants, essentially that middle quadrant is like a 400 batting average, 1,000 slugging percentage. So if you keep the ball out of that quadrant, you can be in better shape than not, I guess.
And that's what they do against certain of the righties and the lefties, respectively, for DeSclafani and for Kim. All right, good matchup today. I like that on DeSclafani. You know, it's funny. The stats always come true. I've said for weeks now that Gausman and DeSclafani, they're co-aces. And if you had to win a game, DeSclafani is a guy I wouldn't be embarrassed to put out there.
It is crazy to think now that if you're lining up the rotation for postseason or big series with the Dodgers or Padres in September, he's your two.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. The catcher for the Giants, and we talk about him a lot, Casale. He's a number eight hitter, Mark, and he hits with power in the eighth spot. Not easy to do.
Yeah, it's so bizarre. His season is really weird from a offensive perspective. Like, he hit nothing for the first chunk of the season. Like, even that middle with happy zone, 400, 1,000, he was like 200, if that. And he was like 100 everywhere else. In fact, so you take from just above the knees down, he had seen, there was a point in the season, he had seen 171 of those pitches, and he had one hit. Now, he had two hits on pitches in that area yesterday, and he has seven since that bad spurt, that bad start through mid-June. So, yeah, that's crazy. The other thing is just the catching numbers. When he catches, Giants pitchers are 25-6 with a 2.75 ERA and a 4-1 strikeout to walk. That's Buster in his prime numbers. He doesn't necessarily do anything really well. Everything just seems to rate all right. But the Giants pitcher seems to just pitch great when he's behind the plate.
You know, he's an athlete, and he was an all-state quarterback in Connecticut, and he was a big-time athlete, and he became a catcher, and I think that helps him here because he is very athletic. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Yesterday, and I said it, I don't want to exaggerate too much, but Lamont Wade's home run off Wainwright, that three-run shot, was a big deal, and it just broke the game open, and, of course, Yastrzemski just closed it with his three-run shot. Earl Weaver said it, three-run homers, your best friend.
So I knew that you were going to bring up Earl Weaver, and I actually looked for like the decade of the 70s when the Orioles were at their best. I thought for sure that they would be first in three-run homers. They weren't. They were like fifth or sixth. But the Giants are first. The Giants have 20 three-run homers this year. That's tied with the Red Sox for the most in the majors. Wow. 13 on the road, 7 at home. At home, so at Oracle Park, they've hit 7 three-run homers. They've only allowed one. So that's a pretty good margin right there. The average team this year has 11 three-run homers. The Giants have 20. So I think that's pretty good. They are timing their home runs very well this year.
Well, great stat. That is a great stat because there was a period of time the Giants could only hit solos. They couldn't even hit a home run with anybody on base. Very good stat. I like that one. That's very good. And Earl Weaver said, yeah, give me the three-run homer, but give me 4 20-game winners. And I like that better in 1971.
Exactly.
Really. Giants opening day lineup. And as a change, what's going on now when you look at it?
Yes, I wanted to make this point because I thought it was a good point to make as kind of both a tribute to surviving injuries and a tribute to Gabe Kapler lineup modification. If you took the Giants opening day starters, Posey, Belt, Solano, Crawford, Longoria, Slater, Dubon, Yaz, Flores, Flores was the DH that day, those guys account for 58% of their starts this season, so less than 60. Out of all the teams in baseball, there are only two teams that have gotten less in terms of starts out of their starters than the Giants, the Angels and the Nationals. By comparison, the Red Sox, if you took their opening day lineup, that accounts for basically their season. Like 84-85% of their games, of their at-bats, have come from those guys. Those guys are getting the bulk of the time. But with the Giants, it's mix and match and jigsaw puzzle, and you see it with both the hitters and the pitching staff. Guys are in, guys are out, and you get bizarre situations like Wilmer being second on the team in games played, which I thought was kind of funny. And then you get sometimes a jigsaw puzzle fits in kind of awkwardly, but it seems to fit at the end, like Jackson did yesterday in his little adventurous inning and change outing yesterday. But I just think it's a tribute to the fact that it's the full roster that's getting it done for the Giants, as opposed to a team like the Red Sox that just overwhelms you with their lineup.
Well, take a look at today's lineup for the best team in baseball. Slater, Solano, Yaz, Ruff, Flores, Casale, Duggar, Estrada, and Disco. How about that? So that makes your point, what they've done. Hey, the Atlanta Braves are not – I'm going to give you a curveball now. The Atlanta Braves are not giving up. They got Jock Peterson and then went out and got Stephen Vogt. Atlanta's still the one you fear for the Mets?
I still don't think they're getting caught. Like, every time a team has gotten close, they've had a slip back. Now, the Mets had a serious slip back with Lindor getting hurt. He's on the DL now. I feared the Braves when Acuna was there. I don't particularly fear the Braves as much without him because he was basically having an MVP season. That said, Freddie Freeman's having a really good hot stretch in the recent stretch. So I guess maybe a little, but not too much. I don't know that anyone's getting within, you know, 4 or 5. Right now, I think the Phillies are 3 or 4 back. I don't know that teams are – I'm going to jinx it, but I don't know that teams are getting closer than that. I just don't – I think that in the end, the Mets just have too much firepower. Now, Lindor going down doesn't help, but I think it's interesting that the Braves did that, especially with Acuna going down. They said, we're going to we're going to start taking shots anyway. And they get two guys, and I guess if they have a five-game losing streak, they can just flip them. But it did strike me as a little odd that they were doing that.
Well, interesting, and you're right. Lindor going down, who knows what that's going to mean, because he did play every game, and he was their number two hitter and their shortstop. Today in baseball history, you had a couple of good ones. One was the 73rd anniversary of Leo DeRocher's first game as manager of the Giants. And I always thought he always managed the Giants. I was shocked to learn that he had managed the Dodgers. So, but it's a big, it's a big anniversary of Giants history, truthfully.
Yeah. So there are three good ones today for San Francisco. One is it's the anniversary today of Christy Mathewson's major league debut back in 1900. It's the anniversary, like you just said, of Leo DeRocher, first game of, as Giants manager. Who got the winning hit that day? Perfect foreshadowing. Bobby Thompson. That's kind of cool.
Okay.
And then the third is that it's Tony Stone's birthday. And you know the Tony Stone story. I know the Tony Stone story. I saw the play. The play was terrific. You talked about it on your show. So three beginnings happened on this day, and one ending, Joe DiMaggio's hitting streak, ended 80 years ago today.
Well, we talked about that. Ken Keltner was playing in deep left field and threw him out.
DiMaggio's
what happened. Really. Hey, Mark, great to have you on, as always. We love it. We'll talk with you next week. The Pirates are in town. And, of course, Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, Mark at Sports Info Solutions. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Thanks, Marty.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Pleasure. All right. Carrie is next up with Katie Wu from St. Louis. Bill's got the talk back. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning. 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. for the pregame tomorrow morning. So stand by. All right, more coming up. KNBR 680-1045, the sports leader.